It is great to see each one of you, to be able to participate in this particular worship service together as we honor God and try our best to give our best unto Him. And it's good to see some visitors in our audience, some past members that have come home to roost, and I know just come home. We're glad to see them, and we hope everybody will stay and that you've made plans to stay for the basket dinner and teacher appreciation banquet that we have just immediately following our final amen here in the building. Always a special time, and always plenty of food as well. So don't worry about it. If you didn't bring anything, you're more than welcome. Stick around, enjoy the fellowship and the food, and as we honor our teachers. Today is the last in this particular series of sermons that I've been doing on Sunday mornings here for the last several weeks on moving the church forward. We want to move forward as individuals in our personal spiritual growth unto God, and we also want to move forward as a congregation. And so over the past several Sundays, Lord's Days, I've been talking about things which we can do individually as well as collectively to help us to grow and to be what God wants us to be. We've looked at challenges to accept, and the idea is that we may not be able to change the entire world, but we can change our world, that the people we come in contact with, such as family and neighbors, workmates, those whom we have an influence on, we are to have an influence on. And that's a great challenge, that to think not in a very negative way, well, I just can't change the world, but yet you can change your world. We talked about enemies to defeat, and of course the number one enemy to defeat is sin. And we need to do our best not to live just above the sin line, but rather we need to stay away from sin as much as possible and encourage others not to go that way and to defeat every temptation that comes our way to do the wrong thing. There are some dangers to avoid, and we looked at various things in this lesson. The one that comes to mind most readily is apathy. So many times people just don't care anymore, and they say, well, let somebody else handle it. Let somebody else take care of it. I'm just not going to do it because I don't care. That's a horrible danger to avoid. It's easy to get caught up in that trap to let somebody else do it, and yet we don't grow. We don't become what God wants us to be, and those things the church ought to be doing and moving forward becomes very lacking. Last Sunday in our lesson, we took a look at opportunities to take and how that so many times in life there are various opportunities that present themselves and we just don't see it. It goes right beyond us, and I'm just as guilty as you are, but what we need to do is re-examine life and say, well, if there's an opportunity to serve, let's take it. If there's an opportunity to preach, let's take it, an opportunity to teach. Whatever it might be to do what the Lord would have us to do, let us keep our eyes open to these opportunities because they're there. We may not see them, but we need to retrain our eyes, retrain our thinking that, well, we go through life with those opportunities to do good and to all people, to be able to share the gospel, we'll take advantage of. Because that brings us again to today's lesson, the last lesson in this series, in which we want to talk about attitude. Zig Ziglar was one of the great gurus of the positive thinking type movement of a Norman Vincent Peale type situation. And Zig Ziglar used to say that we need a checkup from the neck up. It's time to have a checkup in our attitude. We have to check up and make sure that we're thinking positively, thinking energetically, thinking the way we should think to be all that we can be. And while he approached it from a secular point of view, today we're going to take a look at the Bible and take a look at that from a biblical or spiritual point of view, that it's time maybe to adjust our attitude, and by doing so, we can be what God wants us to be, and we can be those things of which we need to be as individuals. Well, once again, I got a poem. You know, all good sermons are 3 points in a poem, so I'm going to do a poem in 3 points. All right. But this is a clever little poem. I think you'll like it. And again, it introduces so very well the importance of having a good attitude. Again, I wish I knew the author of this. I pulled this off the internet. And internet's not real good sometimes on credibility in the sense of knowing who wrote things, where they came from, and all that. And unfortunately, this author of this poem falls in that crack that I can't give proper credit here. But anyway, it is the advanced man of our true selves. Its roots are inward, but its fruit is outward. It is our best friend or our worst enemy. It is more honest and more consistent than our words. It is an outward look based on past experiences. It is a thing which draws people to us or repels them. It is never content until it is expressed. It is the librarian of our past, the speaker of our present, and the prophet of our future. What is it? It is our attitude. And truly, I believe the poet is correct in all of those things, that sometimes our attitude can be our best friend, sometimes it's our worst enemy. And sometimes the difference of getting things done and not getting things done, sometimes the difference in being the kind of person that God wants us to be and not being that person just might boil down to attitude. How badly do we want it? How badly is our heart's desire intent on being what God wants us to be and doing the things that God wants us to do? Let's talk about attitude and why it is so important this morning. Attitude defined, I guess, from a textbook type situation would be a person's prevailing tendency to respond either favorably or unfavorably to an object, person, or group or event. Attitude tells me whether you're going to react or whether you're going to respond. We don't want to react to medicine. If you take a particular drug and hopes to feel better and you react to it, that's usually bad news. And you stop taking the drug or might even have to take another drug to counteract the reaction. And you don't want to react to medicine. You want to respond to medicine. So many times in life, our attitude toward life, our attitude toward ourselves is the difference on whether or not we react to things or whether we respond to things. And so truly attitude is important on how we handle ourselves and how we handle other people, how we handle our relationships, how we handle our jobs, school, whatever it might be. Normally we speak of either having a positive attitude or a negative attitude. Either the glass is always half full or to some it's always half empty. Practically speaking, attitude is how we feel. Truly, are we feeling good about ourselves? Are we feeling good about life? Are we feeling about good the direction that we're going? Or on all those counts, are we not? However you would term yourself, that would be your attitude. An attitude is that determiner of what we believe to be true and right about things. People who are very cynical, people who are very negative, usually don't look at life in a way in which that they can get the job done. But truly, if we believe the job can be done and that we can make a difference, we'll have a much more positive attitude about the things about us. Attitudes are expressed, of course, in various ways, and you pick up on this, but the list goes something like this. Our attitudes are expressed in facial expressions. You can tell when people are sad, when they're down and out, by the way in which they look. Truly, your tone of voice and your inflection will tell people whether or not you're excited about life or whether you aren't. Our behavior or lack of it, people who are depressed or have a bad attitude tend to withdraw from society, withdraw from other people. Those who are excited about life and the possibilities that are in front of them tend to be the life of the party. Truly, the way we perform a task has a lot to say about our attitude. Do we find joy in taking out the garbage or is it drudgery? You know, how we perform that task tells us a lot about whether or not we want to do it. The energy that we put into whatever we're doing says a lot about our attitude. If there's no energy there, we've got a bad attitude. Maybe we're burning out. Again, maybe there's some depression issues there. And again, I'm not here to be condescending. I'm just here to say it's time to check our attitude. And where is it at? Where should it be? Truly, we need to ask ourselves, how are we expressing our Christianity? I don't think the late General Douglas MacArthur was talking about Christianity when he wrote the following about attitude, but he wrote this on his 75th birthday, and I think it has great bearing on us thinking about our attitude and our expression of that attitude as Christians. He says, "In the central place of every heart there is a recording chamber. As long as it receives messages of beauty, hope, cheer, and courage, we stay young. When the wires are all down and your heart is covered with the snows of pessimism and the ice of cynicism, then and only then have you grown old." He believed that truly the idea between young and old was not necessarily a matter of the number of years, but it was about our attitude. And truly, if we could continue to foster a good attitude, a proper attitude, a positive attitude, we would always stay young no matter what our birthday is. But it is truly, however young or old we might be, if we find that ourselves are very pessimistic and cynic and depressed, then we've come very, very old indeed. I think there's no doubt that attitude is a great determiner of our success or lack thereof. And so let's talk about it in the balance of our lesson today. And so now we move into the biblical realm and talking about attitude. And I'm not going to be turning to all these passages. I invite you to do so, as I mentioned them briefly. And we discuss some of these great attitudes that we find within the Scriptures. The Bible, when it talks about attitude, will usually talk about it in the words such as mind or countenance or heart. Oh, every now and then it will use the word attitude, and it's a good word, of course, but sometimes in speaking of the attitude, again, we're going to see it recorded as using the words mind, the countenance, or heart. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, we find here the tremendous attitude of Ezra concerning being a disciple of God, of being a follower, of being a teacher, of being a priest, of being a prophet. And truly, he said here, as it's recorded, "For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, to practice it, and to teach his statutes in the ordinances of Israel." Ezra had set his heart. Wow, that's attitude. Sure, Ezra had problems. Sure, he had setbacks and difficulties, and things didn't always work out exactly the way Ezra wanted them to. But the point was that he had set his mind, he had set his heart, the Scripture says here. He was going to have a good attitude anyway. And truly, when he made that particular decision, then he was able to carry out everything in his life. And when you go back and read the book of Ezra, it's a very positive book. Ezra was a man who got things done for God. And so truly, we need to remember that as we exhibit our attitude in thinking about doing the work of the Lord. Set your heart to do it. There's always then that attitude of work, and some people don't like that attitude. They don't want to get busy at work. We tend to be lazy at times, but people who are successful, especially in the Lord's work, had a great attitude about work, and they realized the work was something that was profitable. Work was good. Work made them better people. It made them feel better about themselves, better about the tasks they were carrying out, and it improved the relationships that they had about them. In Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, listen to Nehemiah as a shout of triumph here when he says, "So we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." Why was it that Nehemiah was so excited about his rebuilding the wall about Jerusalem? It's because the people had a mind, they had an attitude to work. How easy it is to labor, how easy it is to sweat and to feel pain and to put in the long hours when you know you have that great attitude of wanting to work, wanting to get the job done. In Psalm 119, beginning in verse 97, while this is a bit longer passage, I want to go ahead and read it in its entirety because it talks about loving God's Word. We are to be those who love God's Word. In some of our earlier lessons, we talked about the neglect of Bible study. We talked about the neglect of the Word of God and how ignorance is something to be avoided when it comes to knowing God's will for our lives. Listen to how the psalmist here is truly head over heels in love with the Word of God, because again, we're talking about attitude. He says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thy commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed my precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not turned aside from thine ordinances, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." The psalmist is head over heels in love with the Word of God, and he realizes that it is his great benefit to be that way, that he's smarter, he's better off, he's more well-adjusted than all of his teachers and everybody about him. And it all boils down to his attitude. He realizes that's where the answers are, and he wants those answers for his life, and so he has that great attitude. I bet if I were to take a survey with amongst those of you that are here this morning, you would all agree that the Bible is the Word of God, and it has the answers to life, and you know that the keys to life are right there. But what would it be like if we took a survey on the attitude? Can you say, I love the Word? Can you say, I just can't wait to get into Bible study? I can't wait to be here for Sunday morning class or midweek Bible study, as well as my own personal Bible study? You see, it boils down then, doesn't it, to attitude. Well, what about the attitude of sacrifice? Truly, that's pretty un-American. We don't like to sacrifice anything. We don't like that old adage that says, you know, you've got to bend your knees before you can jump. Sometimes in life, that's the way it is. Sometimes we've got to take a lesser position before we get a greater one. Sometimes we have to give up certain things in order to obtain other things. And it means an attitude of sacrifice. And yet that's what it is recorded there in Philippians chapter 2 in verses 5 through 8. He made the sacrifice of leaving heaven, taking on flesh and dwelling among us, so that we might have the opportunity to be saved. What's your attitude toward sacrifice? Do you look forward to it, saying, you know, there's something good going to come out of this. There's something I'm going to gain out of this. This is going to be profitable in the long run. Or is sacrifice something by your attitude you don't even want to think about? Truly, I don't want to cut out anything in my life. Hopefully you have the attitude to say sacrifice for the Lord is a good thing. The attitude of joyous suffering. You know, those two terms in a lot of ways don't even belong together. How in the world can you be joyous in suffering? Well, believe it or not, James says you can. Just count it all joy, my brothers, when you endure various trials and tribulations, knowing that these produce perseverance, and perseverance, hope, and character, and hope, character. Truly, he says, there is much to be gained in suffering. And we look over there in Acts chapter 5, verse 41, the apostles counted it great joy to be able to suffer for the cause of Christ. They thought it an honor to be able to suffer that way. So many times we have a door slammed in our face, or somebody shuns us because we want to hold to Christian ideals. Oh, we think, oh, I'm being so persecuted, and life is so difficult, and woe is me, how tough it is. And yet, maybe the attitude ought to be joyous suffering. It's yes, I can find joy in my relationship with God because I'm suffering for Him. How about the attitude of spiritual renewal? Yes, laying aside those old things Paul talks about there in Ephesians chapter 4 and bringing on the new self. Oh yes, spiritual renewal. Once again, the opposite of this attitude is apathy. It's the status quo. Well, I like where I'm at, and I like what I'm doing. But yet the attitude is to be of spiritual renewal, moving on to new things, growing, stretching ourselves. Truly, that's what growth takes. It takes some pain. It takes some stretching. It takes going into areas you're not used to going into. That's how you grow. That's the attitude of spiritual renewal. And finally, then, the attitude of being ready to suffer. One brother once said, we all are, right before the sermon, right? We're ready to suffer. I hope that's not true. But truly, I hope we have the attitude to say, if we've got to do some suffering, bring it on. Because once again, that suffering and those trials and those problems can actually bring great blessings. Blessings that we would not enjoy or appreciate any other way. I mean, it's so simple to think about it. Whenever you lose your health, you realize you've taken your health for granted. And you want to get well just as soon as possible. You know, I want to get this thing behind me. I just feel terrible. And all of a sudden, good health is something that you treasure because you don't have it. Truly, let's think about that spiritually and be ready to suffer, realizing it will give us a greater appreciation of the blessings that we enjoy on a daily basis. All right, so now if you're following along then in your handout there on the Sunday talk, let's talk about five specific things, and the lesson will be yours, of some positive attitudes that I hope that you will think about incorporating into your life as a Christian, that as an individual you can grow, and then truly as a congregation we can grow as well. Positive attitude, number one, is to have that toward God. Have a positive attitude toward God. I don't always understand why God does what he does, leaves undone the things he leaves undone. I don't understand why he doesn't act when I want him to and not act when I don't want him to. But I know that God never makes a mistake. God always does the right thing, and that God is acting in mine and your best interests. The fact is, I can read the Bible from cover to cover and never find a single incident where God hasn't done anything that's not been in man's best interest. God's on our side. And truly, well, we might not always understand why he does what he does or doesn't do what he doesn't do. We need to have a positive attitude toward God. Isn't that the great commandment there in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Yeah, that's the positive attitude. God is interested in you. How interested are you in God? God wants you to be all that you can be. Are you interested in letting him help you be all that you can be? God wants you to be saved eternally. He wants you to be in heaven with him. Are you interested enough into him to investigate it thoroughly and find out what you need to do to be right with God? One of the great things you can do toward the road to a better life and being what you need to be is to have that positive attitude toward God. Number two, there we go. Have a positive attitude toward the church. A positive attitude toward the church. The church is the blood-bought institution of God. Yes, we bring our difficulties and our shortcomings and our problems into the church, but the church is still the church. It's still the called out. It's still the people of God, and it will last until the earth is no more. And then we'll go to heaven and be with God. And so, yes, at times in the church, we'll stumble on one another. We'll leave things undone. We'll say things we shouldn't. We'll even hurt one another. But we be brethren. We are brethren. And we need to have a good attitude toward the church to say, well, maybe there's a rough spot here, and maybe there's a rough spot there, but we're still going to make it. We're still going to work through it. Because without the church, we have no salvation. Truly, without being a member of the Lord's church, we have no hope of being able to go and be with God for all of eternity. I hope instead of sitting back and looking at the church in a very detrimental or critical eye, you would do just the opposite and develop a good attitude that says, I want to be more involved. I want to be right in the trenches with everybody else when it comes to doing things within the body of Christ, and always be here when the doors are open or wherever we might be in the community doing things. You want to be with the church. Your level of involvement within the church says a lot about your attitude toward it. If your level of involvement is about an hour a week on Sunday morning, that tells me and probably the Lord volumes about your attitude toward the church. But yet, if you're here always the one to sign up for this ministry and that ministry, this fellowship and that fellowship, always wanting to help, always wanting to encourage, again, that tells me volumes, and I think it tells the Lord volumes about the attitude that you have toward the church. Let me encourage you as you work on your attitude to have a positive one about the church, that you'll want to be involved, loving, actively supporting all of the ministries that we undertake, the things that we're doing. Thirdly, hopefully you will have a positive attitude toward the assemblies of the church. I hope you look at coming to worship not as drudgery and something that you have to do. Oh yeah, I got to go eat the supper, and I got to sing a song, and I got to put some money in the plate, and then I can check that off on my life and say, well, I've done that for God this week. I'll just move on. Wrong attitude. Wish I had time to go back and preach out of Malachi, the second chapter, because he deals with people there who were bringing unholy sacrifices. And God says, do you really think I'm going to accept that? And yet we come sometimes with a very unholy attitude, a very have-to attitude, a rote attitude of, well, let's just get this over with so I can go on to the restaurant or go back to my life and the things that I really want to do. And then we wonder, is God really going to accept that? So many people don't get much out of worship because they don't put anything into worship. I hope when you came today, you thought about how you might encourage somebody. I mean, isn't that what the Bible says there in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24? Let us consider, that is, think ahead of time, how we might spur one another on to love and good deeds. Not the forsaking of the assembling of ourselves together is the habit of some, but to do so all the more as you see the day approaching. Our assemblies are to be a time of celebration, a time of encouragement, a time to recharge the batteries. And to say, yes, I can be spiritually filled up so I can go out into the world and continue to let my light shine and glorify my Father who is in heaven. I've always found there seems to be a very direct correlation between how well people are doing spiritually and how well or how often they are in worship. And truly what they get out of worship and whether they want to participate in worship. Let me encourage you to have a positive attitude toward worship to where you can't wait to get here. Wait to be recharged. Wait to be encouraged. You can't wait to encourage somebody else where you walk away filled with the Spirit, filled with the attitude you need to live the Christian life. Number four, let me encourage you to have a positive attitude about being different from the world. Different from the world. Peer pressure is just not something that we need to talk about to our young people. It's very real with us as adults as well. We as a people, I guess it's part of our social strata or upbringing, whatever. We don't like to be the one that sticks out in the crowd. We don't like to be the one that's different. We don't want to be known as the black sheep, you know, of the group. But yet many times within the world and the things that they do and believe and practice and whatever, we've got to be different. We have to be as the New Testament church was, and that is countercultural. That's right. Fact is, I think that's probably one of the reasons that it grew so fast was that they offered something extremely different. That when you look out there in the world and the ways of the world, there are people doing that. They're giving in to temptation. And they're practicing sin. But down deep in their soul, they don't like it. They're not enjoying life. They're doing it because they think everybody's doing it, and somehow maybe down the road they'll find some enjoyment in it, and it's not there. What the church needs to do is be countercultural to all of that and say, we've got something different to offer. Not happy with being born, not happy with your life as it is, try being born again. Try being different from all of your friends and finding life in Christ. Yes, let me challenge you to have a positive attitude to be different from the world. Not seeking persecution, not looking for a fight with the world, but because you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you've said, I'm going to be like Him and not like the world. And have that attitude that you can make it. You can be different. You can be that shining light. You can be that encouragement. You can be that salt of the earth and being different. And growing and being enjoyed by others around you because of that difference. Finally, let me encourage you to have a positive attitude about life. Pretty tough in this old country today financially. Every time you look on the internet or on a newspaper, you see more bad financial news. If you're like me, you've lost a little money this year in the market. Maybe you've not had the money to spend on other things because it's all gone into the gasoline for your car with the high cost of fuel and all of that. And maybe financially you're hurting a little bit. And I can empathize with you. I'm there too. But we have to remember we're Christians. We're different from the world and we have a great hope. We've also got a God who's in control of all things. We've got a God who knows what He's doing. And we've got a God who can take that which we deem to be bad and ugly and nasty and turn it into something good. We have a God who doesn't know the meaning of hopeless, because with Him there's always hope. Romans 8 and verse 28, for we know. Now sometimes we don't feel the way we should, but we ought to and should agree with Paul when he says we know that God causes all things, shall I say, good and bad? God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Now, we've read that countless times. We've probably heard it preached countless times. We have heard it in Bible classes countless times. We've seen it in print countless times. But do we believe it by way of our attitude? That's the bottom line. Do we really want to make that as part and parcel of our life to say, yeah, things aren't as like I think they should be, but I'm going to trust in God anyway. I'm going to have a positive attitude in God, knowing that He can take everything and work it out for my good, because I'm going to love Him and I'm going to respond to His call to be part of His great purpose. Well, in closing, you can't keep your attitude a secret. It's going to come out. One way or the other, whether you're positive or negative, if you're happy or depressed, it's going to come out. And truly realize then that we need to work on our attitude and realize that if we're going to move forward as individuals, it may start with attitude. You got to get the heart and the mind right, and then the actions will follow. And so as we bring this lesson and this series to a close and talking about so many important things of challenges to accept and enemies to defeat, dangers to avoid, opportunities to take, and now attitudes to develop, we ask you, are you moving forward with the proper attitude that you can grow and be the person God wants you to be and be a member of this congregation so the congregation can be what it's supposed to be? If you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, Alex has selected an invitation song. He's going to put it up here on the screen in just a moment. And so we want those who know of their need to give their life to Christ to do it. And it starts with the attitude of saying, I want to be right with God. I want to do what He has to say. I want to put myself at His disposal. Do you need to be right with God? Do you need to give your life to Him? Won't you do so now while we stand and while we sing?